Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. Tara Roberts here, and I'm super excited to host today's podcast along with Pat Fitzmaurice and Derek Brown. And today we are giving you 15 mid-round value picks. It is a lot, but we are going to get through it, I promise. Pat and Debra, how are you guys doing today?
Doing well, Tara. I mean, we have preseason football week two dead ahead of us, and looking forward to getting more. I don't know, some people hate the preseason, but I kind of like the buildup. I like to get as many clues as possible before we get into our most important drafts of the year, the home league drafts.
Completely agree. Debro, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing good. Unlike Mr. Fitzmaurice, who's a total savage, by the way. That man is a monster, both in the bar and in the drafts. Fantastic time at the expo last weekend, and I'm still licking my wounds. I'm not like Pat. I can't get up at 7 a.m. after a long night. Don't know how he does it, but hopefully one of these days he'll share the Fountain of Youth elixir with me.
He's a champ. I agree. I need that as well. Before we get started, guys, do not forget to subscribe and turn on notifications because you do not want to miss out on any of the fantastic content that we have coming out. We are way too close to draft season. Pat mentioned we are at preseason. Everything is happening so fast, so make sure that you are tuned in. Now, 15 players is a ton to go through, so we're just going to go ahead and get started. And because we have so many players, I thought that I would help alleviate the workload for Pat and Debro and give my favorite mid-round pick, and it is... it's Zay Flowers, of course. I love Zay Flowers. I am drinking the Baltimore Ravens bounce back Kool-Aid, and the guy who I just can't stop drafting at all in mid rounds is Zay Flowers. I mean, it's nearly impossible to not find a glowing report that isn't just extremely positive. We've got the highlight videos of him looking absolutely fantastic running around. He just looks flawless and incredible on the field. And when you're looking at his resume at Boston College, the production was so impressive. He was a high volume receiver, explosive athlete, and the Ravens are preparing him for literally every position across the field. I do believe that he can be the Ravens wide receiver one. I love all rookies, but to be honest, Zay Flowers has to be my absolute favorite. I think he has the most realistic path to wide receiver one. I'm 100% on Zay Flowers. How are you guys feeling about him?
Oh, Tara, you said it. I mean, like, he could very well be the Ravens' best receiver right out of the gates. And yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson is calling him joystick. That's a pretty good indication of the sort of athleticism and movement skills that Zay Flowers has. And he reminds me a lot in this rookie class of a rookie receiver from last year, who I'm going to talk about a little later. So I'll tease that. Debro, how are you feeling about Zay Flowers?
I've been all on the Zay train ever since prospect season. I mean, before we went through the NFL draft and stuff, he was my wide receiver two in this class. So big believer in the skill set, the talent, and people could poke holes in some of his metrics. That man dealt with terrible, like capital T, poof, terrible quarterback play in college. And much like Jahan Dotson, it did not hold him back. He said, you know what? Forget this noise. I'm still going to be a first round pick. And he's showing everybody why he was selected in the first round. I love him because, like y'all talked about, the path could be really clear for him to be the wide receiver one in this offense without a whole lot happening. I mean, Rashad Bateman, as much as I love him, injury questions. We don't know how much Odell Beckham has left in the tank. So you're talking about the clearest path to be the number one running mate with Mandrews? Could easily be Zay Flowers.
I love it. I'm so excited for this Ravens offense because, you know, new offensive Todd Monken, offensive coordinator, he is stepping in there and openly saying that they're going to put Lamar Jackson in control, open this offense up, get Lamar Jackson back to that Louisville version of him that was an absolute menace on the field. So I am so excited to see this in action. Before we get started and talk about the rest of our picks, we are so close to the start of fantasy football. The NFL season is right around the corner. And while we're waiting, we could be going out to events, baseball games, concerts, comedy shows, and so much more. And the best way to get tickets to any of these is on GameTime, the fastest growing ticketing app in the U.S. For last minute amazing deals on tickets to see your favorite baseball team, band, or comedian, download GameTime. Again, it's not just sports. August means huge summer concerts and comedy shows all across the country, and Game Time has your tickets. Download the Game Time app and redeem code FANTASYPROS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download the Game Time app and enter code FANTASYPROS for $20 off. No matter where you live, get out and have some fun this weekend. Download Game Time today and enter code FANTASYPROS. Last minute tickets, lowest priced, guaranteed. All right, Pat, why don't you start us off here?
All right, Tara, I'm going to go with Samaje Perine, who right now has an ADP of RB40 and is going outside the top 100 picks. Samaje is not the sort of running back I typically target in fantasy drafts. He's going to turn 28 just days after the start of the regular season. Perine was a day three draft pick, and he's probably one of the slower running backs in the league. His best season as a runner was a 603-yard campaign way back in 2017, which was his rookie year. But Samaje Perine is the clear number two back in Denver, playing behind a guy in Javonte Williams who's coming off a multi-ligament knee tear. And there's no question Perine's the number two. Number three behind him is a distant third, probably Tyler Beatty from Missouri. And look, even if Javonte's recovery goes swimmingly, and the reports have been pretty optimistic, there are usually a lot of running back touches to go around in a Sean Payton offense. And throughout his time at with the Saints in New Orleans, there have typically been multiple fantasy-relevant running backs in Payton's offenses. I mean, it was Deuce McAllister and Reggie Bush. It was Pierre Thomas and Reggie Bush. It was Pierre Thomas and Darren Sproles. It was Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. Even going back to his time as the offensive coordinator with the Giants, it was Tiki Barber and my guy from Wisconsin, Ron Dayne. So, I think the price on Perine is pretty nice for like a running back three, running back four type, depth option on your bench. I think he's going to have standalone value this year.
I see that ADP is still pretty far ahead of ECR for Perine. Is there any concern that he's maybe going a little bit too high, or is he someone that you'll reach on, or is that someone that you maybe want to take a little bit of discount on?
I think the public has a right on this one, Terry. Yeah, his ECR is running back 50, and he's 153rd overall. I think the sharps are wrong on this. I think it's way too low.
Where do you have him ranked at, Pat? Because I'm kind of curious, because I agree with you. Maybe I'll sit here and spill the Kool-Aid first. I have Perine at RB32. Where are you at?
Wow, that's even more than me, Deeper. I think I'm like RB37 or 38.
Yeah, I mean, this is all to say that he should be in that RB3 range. If we think that he has standalone value as well as high-end handcuff value, contingent value, then him sitting in the RB4-5 range is ridiculous.
Agreed.
Yeah. Debro, what about your next player?
Well, I mean, Pat made such a great case about Samaje Perine. I just got to sit here and give some more Broncos love here. So staying with the same team, I know it did not work out last year, people, but I'm telling you to buy back in because he's being left for dead. Right now, he is the wide receiver 46 in ADP, 42nd in ECR, and I'm not going to leave him in draft rooms. Cortland Sutton, we will talk about positive camp reports. Everything coming out of Denver has been awesome for Cortland Sutton. You have coaches, beat writers talking about, this looks like Sutton for 2019. He's looking spry, as well as the numbers reflect this. I understand Russell Wilson did not play good last year, but that doesn't mean that Cortland Sutton did not play good last year. And yes, if you look at the fantasy points and yards per route run, all those different metrics, it does not look pretty. But if you go even deeper, if you look at ESPN open scores, so the things that Cortland Sutton can control, i.e. getting open on his routes, over the last 2 years, he's tied for 12th in open score with somebody who's not exactly a schmo, CeeDee Lamb. So I want to put some respect on Cortland Sutton's name. And if we believe that this offense can bounce back, Pat's talking about buying into Samaje Perine. We like what, you know, Sean Payton is dealing out there. Even I'll sit there and back up what he said about Nathaniel Hackett. I'm sorry, Aaron Rodgers. I put it in my mouth. Excuse me. But Cortland Sutton, I think, is going to be in for a fantastic bounce back campaign. And where he's going in drafts, you're basically saying, or where people are drafting at, they're basically saying he's not going to do any better than he did last year. It's going to be a similar show that we saw in 2022. And I just don't believe that.
It's amazing. I feel like with Sutton, he could be one of those players that everyone is just writing off because, you know, they expect that this is just going to be the continuation of what we've seen. And then suddenly he returns to greatness. I do got to ask, though, at the same time, what kind of ceiling are we expecting from him? Because his highest finish was wide receiver 19 back in 2019, ironically. And it's been in the 40s every other year other than that injury year. So what's the best that we can realistically expect, in your opinion?
I think if Russell Wilson fully bounces back and we see Russell Wilson of old, the absolute like 5%, 3% outcome for Courtland Sutton is being a top 24 wide receiver. If you believe that Russell Wilson can still be that type of guy, now is that where I'm putting him in the most median ranges of outcomes? No. I have Courtland Sutton right now ranked as wide receiver 40. And I think that you can make a case for him anywhere between low-end wide receiver 3 territory, high-end wide receiver 4 territory. This is all to say that we need to be, and I'm going to be, above consensus. So if his ADP continues to climb with all these camp reports, you're going to see in my rankings on Fantasy Pros him to go slowly continue to go up the board.
Yeah, I'm with Debra on this one. Like, I think I might actually have Sutton ranked ahead of Debra, like wide receiver 38 or 39, which is funny because, as you know, Debra, I was not with you and Erickson on the Courtland Sutton Express last year when it derailed.
That's okay, Pat. Look, the ticket's still good. Yeah. It might be old. It might be weathered and a little bit beat up. You might have spilled some beer on it in your pocket. Well, I'm sorry, Miller Lite, but you know, sometimes things happen. But it's still fine, Pat. The ticket's still good. There was no expiration date on it.
That's it. Bottom line, I mean, I thought there was too much of a gap between Sutton and Jerry Jeudy last year, and that Jeudy should have been higher and Sutton should have been lower. And this year, I think there's too big a gap between Jeudy and Sutton. I think Jeudy should probably be a little lower and Sutton a little higher.
That was what I was going to ask. So we've got some AJP Ryan. We've got Courtland Sutton. We love these two guys. We're looking for a Russell Wilson bounce back. Devontae coming back as well. You know, we look at these other pieces. You know, we've got Devontae Williams and Jerry Jeudy. Are those two guys that you're also in on as well? Or are you pulling back? Sounds like you're pulling back on Jerry Jeudy.
A little bit. I'm not comfortable with him being a top 20 wide receiver. Some people have him inside the top 20. I do not.
I do. I have him at wide receiver 16.
Ooh, I like that. That's bullish.
Yeah, well, you know, it's so weird for me to sit here and plant flags on players I like. I know. Totally crazy.
Pat, how about you give us another controversial guy being taken in mid-rounds?
All right, Terry. Yeah, maybe this one is controversial. It's Devon Achane, the rookie for the Miami Dolphins. He is currently sporting an ADP of RB39, 99th overall. His ECR is much higher, running back 30, 84th overall. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little nervous about the way he was used by the Dolphins in their first preseason game. He appeared to be fifth on the Miami depth chart. He played behind Miles Gaskin and Salvon Ahmed, with Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson getting the night off. And Achane was even used as a gunner on special teams, although maybe we shouldn't read too much into that because they also used their other highly drafted rookie, second-round cornerback Cam Smith, as a gunner. I just didn't think Mike McDaniel was going to be like an old-school make-the-rookies-earn-it kind of a coach, but here we are. So regardless, Achane has the talent to ascend the Miami depth chart pretty quickly. He is a hand-in-glove fit for Mike McDaniel's wide-zone running scheme. And we saw Raheem Mostert, after basically just being a special teamer early in his career, have a mid-career breakout with the 49ers with Mike McDaniel as their running game coordinator. And Mostert played well for McDaniel in San Francisco. He played well in Miami last year. But he's 31 and has this extensive injury history. Achane is a younger, far more explosive version of Mostert and a far better pass catcher. The concern with Achane is size, 5'9", 188, but he averaged 23.2 touches a game for Texas A&M last fall. Like, they gave him the rock because they had nothing else on that offense. And I mean, this guy has pretty extraordinary contact balance for a younger or for a smaller back. And he reminds me a lot of Warwick Dunn, who was just, electric and had great contact balance and was a really valuable fantasy asset way back in the day. So it's going to be fun to see how Mike McDaniel makes use of Achane and his 4.32 speed.
You mentioned that, you know, depth chart, third in the depth chart, but it's tough to imagine that he stays down there for any significant amount of time. At what point do you think we'll start to see significant touches for him? Do you think we can see that right off the bat in the season, or is it maybe going to be something that we hold off a little bit on?
Yeah, I hope we see it right away, Tara. When we don't get, you know, explosive plays out of Mostert and Jeff Wilson, maybe we will get some out of Mostert. But again, he's on the wrong side of 30 and gets hurt a lot. So I think they're going to need A-Chain to mix in pretty soon. And I do think he's the best pass catching back on their roster.
Agree. Debro, who is your next player?
Well, I want to stay on the rookie train here. With Pat. So Jordan Addison is a guy that I want to be drafting everywhere. And can we please stop talking about preseason depth charts? This does not matter at all. Like, I mean, did Justin Jefferson not teach us anything when we're getting like stuff out like BC Johnson is going to sit here and start over him? KJ Osborne is not starting over Jordan Addison. Can we get past that? Like, come on. The intern, whoever put that together, I mean, you know, bless him. But that person is not going to be deciding who gets the playing time. Kevin O'Connell is. So Jordan Addison is already flashing in preseason. And with a player that's getting airdropped into an offense that was third in neutral passing rate, second in red zone passing rate last year, and I'm not a believer in Alexander Mattison, and I don't think anybody should be, then yes, Addison's needle is pointing firmly up. It's a rocket ship. How many years do we have to see rookie wide receivers hit the ground running and be league winners, especially down the stretch, before we're willing to buy in? Adam Thielen in this offense had a 17% target share, 107 targets last year. Do we not think that at the spots in their respective careers, Jordan Addison has more juice? He is the better player at this point in his career. I'm firmly in that camp. So I think Addison is a guy that could get a 20% target share in his rookie season, you know, on an offense that's going to throw the ball one crap ton. So that's what I want to be investing in. So the fact that his ADP, he's sitting at wide receiver 38, ECR has him at wide receiver 37. No. It's not far off, but I have him as a top 32 wide receiver. Like in my ranks, he has floated anywhere between the mid 20s. Right now I have Jordan Addison at wide receiver 32. Like he's in a tier with Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Quentin Johnston and all of these guys. Again, I talked about it. As the needle moves with consensus or ADP, the closer we get to week one, if people bump up Addison even more, I want to stay ahead of consensus with him. So if you're following my ranks, don't be surprised if he does get into that low end 20s before we get to week one.
I like that. We mentioned, you know, KJ Osborne. I completely agree with you that, you know, it shouldn't be that hard for Addison to jump over KJ Osborne. Are there any concerns around the level of production that we'll see from TJ Hockenson? How do you see them shaking out? Do you still lean towards Addison being the second look in that offense above TJ Hockenson?
I think he can be. Now, does he start that week one? Probably not. But when we're talking about we're gearing up for fantasy playoffs, you were looking for players that can not only get us into the playoffs in the middle of the season, but carry us home the championships down the stretch run. That's the part where I care about it so much. So if he's getting out targeted by TJ Hockenson in the first 4 or 5 weeks, I don't care. That doesn't matter because this target tree is still so narrow that even if he's the third guy, we're still talking about if it's not KJ Osborne, they're not going to throw to their running backs. Nobody on this depth chart is a plus receiving back. And there's nobody that's going to fight for targets behind Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson outside of Jordan Addison. I'm sorry, KJ Osborne, truthers, but he's proven time and time again, he's not a high-end target earner. He is going to probably get a 13 to 15% target share in this offense. And whatever, you can play him on matchups. That's great and grand. That does not mean that Addison cannot be the number two in this offense. And he will not start immediately week one as the number three.
I will admit I was a KJ Osborne truther, but the drafting of Jordan Addison, I fell back on my trutherism. So I agree with you. Before we dive into our next player, if you're like me looking to stay healthy, but have a ton going on in life, this is right up your alley. With the busy fall season just around the corner, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. If you're too busy with your end-of-summer goals to cook but want to make sure you're eating well, with Factor, you can skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping and prepping and cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality that you need. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy and then get back to crushing your goals. This August, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered straight to your door, ready in just 2 minutes, no prep, no mess at all. Head over to factormeals.com/fantasypros50. Use code fantasypros50 to get 50% off. That's code fantasypros50 at factormeals.com/fantasypros50 to get 50% off.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch. Had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Pat, who do you have next?
Pat Freiermuth. And so Freiermuth had 60 catches as a rookie, 63 catches last year. And there were some exciting gains from Freiermuth in year two. His yardage total went from 497 as a rookie to 732 last year. His average depth of target went from 5.3 yards in 2021 to 8.3 yards in 2022. And his yards per target jumped from 6.3 to 7.5. Really, the only category where he fell off in year two was touchdowns. He went from 7 as a rookie to 2 last year. I think it's safe to expect a bounce in that category since Freiermuth is just one of 6 tight ends with more than 30 red zone targets over the last 2 seasons. And if you miss those top tier guys, if you miss Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, D-Bro's guy, Darren Waller, my guy, Kyle Pitts. You know, if tight end kind of gets away from you in your draft, I think Freiermuth is a nice fallback guy in the mid rounds.
Any concerns around Washington and the size and the presence that he could be within the red zone?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is a potential a guy who could maybe start cutting into Freiermuth's snap counts down the road. I don't think it's going to happen in his rookie year. Like, that guy is a crazy athletic specimen. But, you know, as our guy Thor Nystrom pointed out, like, you go back and look at Washington's tape from Georgia, and like, there wasn't a lot of, you didn't see a lot of spectacular grabs. You didn't see crazy stuff after the catch. Like, there wasn't a lot of great stuff as a pass catcher put on tape there. So, you know, I think Freiermuth is pretty well ahead of him in that regard.
D-Bro, who do you have next?
Well, I'm going to give the first half of this year, because I know people in our Discord and out on Twitter, X, have asked, who is my league-winning combo this year, my league-winning stack? So I'm going to give the first half of that, teasing the second half for later in this show. Daniel Jones is still being slept on. It's insane to me, but right now his ECR is at QB12. His ADP is at QB14, and a lot of other home league drafts, you're going to see him go in that range, QB14 to QB17. And I think that's absolute insanity. If you look at what Daniel Jones did last year, the QB10 in fantasy points per game, he was 7th in fantasy points per dropback. And this is all while they did not throw the ball a ton. Yes, we all understand like the rushing equity that he has. That's not going anywhere. What is going to happen this year is the Giants are going to throw the ball more. They did this down the back half of the season last year. That's going to sit here and cross over to this season. And for a guy that was 21st in passing touchdowns, only threw 15 last year. We think with more talent around him, second year of a Brian Daboll offense, that number is going to go up, as well as having more players to stretch the field, because he was 30th in deep attempts last year. And this is, again, talking about he was operating in a conservative offense because they did not have the skill players to execute a high-flying offense. And I'm not telling you they're going to be top 3 in passing rate, but top 12, top 15, absolutely. Lock them in. They're going to be there. And with Daniel Jones both passing more and taking more deep shots, because we do have a sample of him being a good deep ball thrower. In 2020, before Jason Garrett and Joe Judge and all those other idiots decided to take over the offense and screw him up, Daniel Jones was top 10 in both deep ball completion rate and deep ball accuracy. With the passing volume going up, we know the rushing equity is there. QB12 is his absolute floor this year, and I think he has top 5 upside at the position.
Can I interject something there, Tara? So what you were saying about him being around late, D-Bro, I just got him in the 10th round of our Flex League best ball draft, and I was the last guy to take a quarterback in that draft. So yeah, I got him at 10:09, or 10:08. One thing, I mean, I do think if you get him as your top quarterback, you should probably draft a good backup, because he does have to deal with the Dallas defense. He does have to deal with the Philadelphia defense and, you know, the best pass rush in the league. But I agree with what you're saying about the talent infusion. I do think they're going to take more deep shots downfield. And obviously, Daboll is just this quarterback whisperer. I mean, like, Daniel Jones, the turnover machine, had the best interception rate in the league last year. Like, more good things are coming in the passing game. And, you know, you're getting the Konami code quarterback here. Like, he ran for 700 yards last year.
It makes no sense, Pat. I don't understand why people are just leaving him outside of the QB1 territory, because the entire situation has improved around him. And so we're going to see, last year, if I look at that as his floor, this year we're in for the ceiling performance.
You guys are preaching to the choir. I am also 100% in on Daniel Jones. I don't get the disrespect. I understand why they're doing it, because they're holding on to the past, but you got to get on board with the future here. Everything, yes, you guys said, yes, 100% in on. And this next guy, just spoiler alert, Pat, if I had not chosen Zay Flowers as my guy, this is my other guy right here. So lead us in.
Nice. It's Elijah Moore. And, you know, I don't want to cling to the past here, but there was that stretch 2 years ago in his rookie year where Elijah Moore had, over a 6-game period, 34 catches for 459 yards and 5 touchdowns. Over those 6 weeks, he was the wide receiver 4 in PPR fantasy scoring, behind only Justin Jefferson, Keenan Allen, and Cooper Kupp. So the quarterbacks who were throwing him the ball during that stretch, by the way, when he was going nuclear, Zach Wilson, Mike White, Joe Flacco, John Johnson. Four different guys. Basically, the only thing Jets quarterbacks were doing over that stretch was throwing to Elijah Moore and getting hurt. So Moore runs great routes, good hands, super productive in his final two seasons at Ole Miss after A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf had left. He averaged almost 150 yards a game for the Rebs in his junior year, his final year at Oxford. So I'm pretty excited about what it's going to be like. You know, he kind of sulked his way out of New York after he and Zach Wilson just couldn't get on the same page. I'm more optimistic about how things are going to go with Deshaun Watson. So I think we're going to see a bounce back.
I completely agree there. When you're looking at him and how he fits into this offense, we've seen a lot of stuff in terms of how they're getting him all over the field. They're using him out of the backfield. I mean, it just seems like the sky is the limit for him. Deeper, how are you feeling?
I like Elijah Moore. I think I'm a little bit lower than y'all two. And not to like poo-poo the case of Elijah Moore, but like for me, I just have more concerns about Deshaun Watson. And I know I've talked about this on numerous shows. There are parts of piece of this offense, but I think overall I'm probably just a little bit below consensus because of if this offense is going to go or not go as well as Watson plays this year. So that's my overarching concern for Cleveland.
That's fair. And I have seen the reports that every time Watson has to play from the pocket, things do not look good in the Browns offense.
Yeah, it is a little bit risky there. You know, keeping on the little bit risky track, Debro, who's your next guy?
I mean, Tara, we're going to sit here and frame this around risk, but I think all the risk is being baked in for where Alvin Kamara is going in drafts right now. I mean, he's overall ADP RB26. ECR has him at RB25. Inside of my ranks, again, talking about players that I want to stay ahead of, going down. Oh, love, look at that. Alvin Kamara is my RB22. Ranked on fantasypros.com. And I want to remain ahead of consensus because I'm not worried about a 3-game suspension for Alvin Kamara. So what? That's not going to sit here and knock him down so many different pegs because when he comes back after the suspension, one, he's going to be fresh. Two, this is his backfield. Yes, they have Jamal Williams. Yes, they've been working out of the players. Any players that they've brought in for workouts like Kareem Hunt, those are more of an indictment on the players behind Alvin Kamara and not Alvin Kamara. Kendre Miller is already dealing with knee issues. Can he stay healthy? We don't know. Alvin Kamara last year, as bad as things were, was still the RB13 in fantasy points per game. The 13, and you're able to draft him as an RB3 right now, as a possible flex play. He's missing only 3 games. What are we doing here? Considering he was the RB7 in expected fantasy points per game. We know that he is not only, yes, you can have all the concerns and all your Taysom Hill worries going into the season, but he is going to be the passing down back. Say what you will about the red zone. Nobody is taking Jamal Williams, Kendre Miller. None of these guys are taking pass game routes from Alvin Kamara. And that's what we want, again, for ceiling in fantasy. And Alvin Kamara, as much as he might have shown drop off last year in tackle breaking and efficiency metrics in the passing game, he was still money. 6th in yards per route run, 3rd in target share. Those numbers can stay healthy and around those areas this season because we still have concerns about Michael Thomas. Can Rashid Shaheed sit here and repeat what he did in his rookie season? Alvin Kamara being drafted as an RB3 is absolute crazy sauce. I will take him as a flex play all day. And I'm comfortable enough to even draft him as my RB2 on certain teams where maybe I went hero running back. Maybe I go zero running back. Because where the spot that he goes in drafts, you can do that and still build, take your elite quarterback, take a high-end tight end, build out a really good wide receiver room, and you have Alvin Kamara as your RB2, RB3. This is how you win leagues. Doesn't have to be hard.
I was going to ask, how high are you willing to take him? Because I agree. I don't think that the issue is in talent for Alvin Kamara. It's Alvin Kamara. It's just, you know, can the Saints do the right thing and give him the receptions that he needs? I need him to get back to that level that he was before because the utilization has just been not what Alvin Kamara deserves.
Yeah, that's it.
Pat, I know you want to push back here. Are you going to sit here and love on Alvin Kamara?
No, I mean, Tara just got to it, D-Bro. I mean, I'm only two spots behind you, I think, on Alvin Kamara. And I still think he's a talented back. But yeah, I mean, what we saw early in his career with Sean Payton running the offense was like under 200 yards a year for Kamara, but like 100 or more targets. And it seems like they're using him as sort of a more conventional lead back. Like they have boosted the carries and dialed down the targets. It's like someone is messing with your stereo. You know, you've got the settings just right. Someone comes along, messes with the bass, the treble, like they're turning the knobs every which way. I want it back to where we were when Sean Payton was tuning the stereo.
I think that we get that, Pat. And I think that that is a really, really good point, because he hasn't had a running mate in this backfield that they can trust ever since Mark Ingram left. And then Mark Ingram came back, but he was an older version and washed up. Like, them bringing in these other running backs to pair with Kamara, could we not, like, could we possibly be sleeping on the fact of those moves were made to put Alvin Kamara back into the perfect role in the passing game and take away some of that usage in early downs? I love that point.
It's a good point.
Extremely good. Where I live, it is pretty much always summer, and summertime barbecues are the perfect time to enjoy time with friends, and nothing goes better with barbecue and friends than Miller Lite. Miller Lite is the 96-calorie beer that tastes like beer and is perfectly brewed for everything summer has to offer. Miller Lite is the perfect light beer for all beer lovers. And as soon as you take a sip that day, that barbecue, that conversation with friends, it just instantly gets better. Whether you're spending long afternoons behind the grill or watching the person who is actually on the grill, live those summer moments with Miller Lite and let the great taste of Miller Lite hit your taste buds so hard that it fills your heart. With a Miller Lite in your hands, summertime doesn't just taste great, it tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/fantasypros. That's MillerLite.com/fantasypros. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories in 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. All right, Pat, who you got for us next?
Well, Tara, I told you I was excited as you are about Zay Flowers, but last year's version of Zay Flowers was Jahan Dotson. And I love this guy. The surface stats from his rookie year aren't especially exciting. 35 catches, 523 yards, but he did score 7 touchdowns in just 12 games, and he had 5 weeks out of those 12 in which he was a top 20 scorer at the wide receiver position, even though Washington had a lackluster quarterback situation. And their quarterback situation still isn't great, or at least not proven, but Dotson has 4.43 speed. He's a good route runner. Like Tyreek Hill, he punches well above his weight on contested catches. Like, he goes up for it and rips balls away from bigger dudes. So he's elusive after the catch. His credentials also include high draft capital. The Commanders took him 16th overall in the 2021 draft. And, 2022 draft. And, even though Sam Howell is unproven, supposedly, there's been a pretty good connection between Howell and Dotson in training camp, and I'm not fading Dotson based on his ecosystem. I'm buying the talent.
How about you? How are you feeling about that, Deeper?
I'm in on Dotson. I mean, where he goes in drafts, I'm going to take shots on him, especially in best ball settings. My only big concern has nothing to do with Jahan Dotson is, what is the passing volume going to be like for the Washington Commanders offense this year? Because we have no clue. Like, we cannot sit here and transfer any of the Kansas City stuff with Eric Bieniemy, with Andy Reid there. We don't know what that division looked like. And so Dotson, I'm going to try to stay in line with the consensus on him, maybe a little bit above. I'm a huge, huge believer in the talent, but I have concerns on what the passing volume will look like. So wide receiver 3-ish territory, I think it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I find myself gravitating towards him. I love Terry McLaurin, but there's just something about the red zone usage for Jahan Dotson that's just so incredibly appealing. If it can repeat in 2023, D-Bro, who do you have for us next?
Talk about things that will not repeat in 2023. I'm telling you, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, Deontay Johnson's going to score some touchdowns this year. Crazy as I know as it sounds. But Deontay Johnson, going right now where he is in the middle of the rounds, like, wide receiver 33 in ADP, wide receiver 31 in ECR. Somebody's got to make sense of this for me, because I really do not understand it. For a player that people are drafting like he is going to score one touchdown, two touchdowns, maybe none again. I don't understand that, people. Like, we do not have to sit here and question the talent that Deontay Johnson has at all. If you look over the last 3 years in ESPN Open score, this man is ranked first, fourth, and third. He was the wide receiver 20 in expected fantasy points last year. The two previous years before he went through a campaign of scoring zero touchdowns, he was the wide receiver 8 and wide receiver 22 in fantasy points per game. And you can draft him as a wide receiver 3? That's crazy to me. Absolutely crazy. I have him as my wide receiver 19 in ranks right now. I don't think that that's insane, considering looking at his production. That could be his floor this year. Kenny Pickett looking good in preseason, stacking that on top of the end of season numbers from an efficiency standpoint, that Kenny Pickett was checking a ton of boxes for me. I'm buying back into Deontay Johnson. I keep bringing him up on shows, and I keep wondering when his ADP and ECR is going to wake up from this offseason coma. Hasn't happened yet. I'm going to still keep scooping him in every draft that I'm doing.
I love Deontay. I feel like you have to. He's being drafted at the absolute worst possibility.
Crazy.
So there's only upside from here. Pat, your next guy here. I got to say, I truly hope that this is the big breakout year for him, because it's just been getting better and better. And we need to see that.
Yeah, Brandon Ayuk topped the 1,000-yard mark for the first time last season. And it's funny, Deebo Samuel is always the first San Francisco receiver off the board in every fantasy draft. And I'm not sure that should be the case. I mean, last year, from the time Christian McCaffrey joined the 49ers in week 7 through the end of the regular season, Ayuk had a bigger target share than Deebo. And Ayuk outscored Deebo in fantasy points, PPR points, 2.8 PPR points more per game than Deebo over that stretch. And hat tip to Josh Larkey, by the way, for those numbers. Deebo's average depth of target last year was 4.3 yards. He's a gadget guy. Like, Ayuk is their classic downfield receiver, and he's really good at it. Beat reporters for the 49ers are raving about Ayuk in training camp. They're saying he's been the best guy on the field for them in training camp and have called him unguardable. So I am excited that we are going to get like even more of a breakout. If people think the ascension stopped last year with 78 catches, 1,000 yards, I don't know if it did. I think like the elevator's still going up.
Deebo, how are you feeling about Brandon Ayuk?
I love him. My biggest question for Pat is, where do you have him ranked at right now? Because I've got Ayuk, and I'm with you. I am with you, Pat, that Ayuk should be drafted over Deebo, and my ranks reflect that. I've got Ayuk as wide receiver 24, and Deebo Samuel is wide receiver 34, but I'm curious where you have them at.
You're ahead of me, man. I've got Ayuk 26, and I've got...
Love it.
I need to come down on Deebo. I think I'm at like 23 or 24. Like, I've still got Deebo ahead, and I'm not sure why. Like, we just know he's not going to run that much anymore. Yeah. As long as McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell are reasonably healthy, you're not going to get that rushing gravy that we've been getting from Deebo the last couple of years.
Yeah, Deebo is a wide receiver 3. He's a PPR guy and a run first offense. Yes. Does that sound appealing to anybody? No. It shouldn't. So no, I'm going to sit here and keep fading Deebo. He's in my players to avoid article in the Fantasy Pros draft kit, and he's not leaving that article because I'm not going to be drafting him. Other people can take that shot, and as a wide receiver 2, I don't understand it. I don't get it, but you know, they can have fun with that.
Deebo, who you got next?
Well, a guy that has been making all the rounds in camp buzz. And look, I've been touting his praises. I've said it before and I'll say it again. James Cook is the discount Jahmyr Gibbs this year in fantasy football. You're getting the same type of talent profile. You're buying into a top 5, top 10 scoring offense. We know what the Bills can do with putting up points. And James Cook last year was extremely good on the touches that he got. He was first in explosive run rate, 15th in yards after contact per attempt, and top 12 in yards per route run. Damian Harris already being banged up. They're talking about, yes, we're going to use James Cook as the lead back. What does that mean? I'm not asking for him to get 15 to 20 carries a freaking game. I don't want that for James Cook. What I want is 15 to 20 touches a game. Give him 12 carries, 5 to 6 targets. He catches most of those, and he's now inside of, like, he is the passing down guy in this offense. if you're heading over and look, again, this is a player I want to be heavily invested, especially if I'm taking shots on the Millie in the Fantasy Pros FFPC Championship, which if you head over to fantasypros.com/NFL/FFPC, you got to check this out. Like, James Cook is going screaming up the board. He's at RB21, so you're going to have to pay up in the sixth round to get him if you want him. I still think that there is, and look, it's spicy, but there's still meat on the bone because I think James Cook, if all of the stars align, if everything hits for him, he can be a top 15 back. What do we want? Good offense. What do we want? Explosive player. What do we want to buy into? A player that can ascend in his second season with the draft capital of also being a second round pick. Everything is there for James Cook. So while you have to pay up in FFPC streets, you're going to get him as an RB3 in all of your home league drafts because in ECR and ADP, he's RB31, RB29. Give me that all day.
Pat, who you got for us next? We got another running back, maybe?
Antonio Gibson. And Commanders head coach Ron Rivera has rediscovered Antonio Gibson on his roster this year. It seemed like there were times when he forgot about that last year. He's been talking about wanting to get the ball in Gibson's hands this year more often. And yeah, talk is cheap, but I do think it would be wise to make better use of a running back who is as big and as fast as Jonathan Taylor, who has extensive pass catching experience as a former college wide receiver and who scored double digit touchdowns in his first 2 years in the league. But, you know, Gibson's carry total hit a 3-year low last year with Scott Turner calling the plays for Washington. Turner's gone. Now it's Eric Bieniemy. Fresh start for Gibson. And I think Gibson can be a bigger, better version of Jerick McKinnon, who gave us a surprise RB2 fantasy season last year. And like now, Gibson does not have to share passing down work. He is not going to yield to J.D. McKissic anymore. McKissic is gone. The passing downs are Gibson's. I also think he's going to, carve into Brian Robinson's early down work. I happen to think Gibson is the better and more explosive back than Robinson. So I'm pretty optimistic that Gibson is going to return a profit on his RB34 ADP. And I think he's like a great running back 3 for you to target in drafts.
I know this necessarily wasn't a bargain podcast, but I mean, RB34 for someone who we know has legitimate RB1 upside is kind of crazy.
Oh, definitely. Right. Yeah, he is underpriced right now. But, that was the thing. They sort of froze him out last year after he had the fumbling problems in 2021. But he didn't fumble that often last year. I think he only had like one or two. So I'm really excited about him for 2023.
Debro, why don't you go ahead and close us out with your last favorite mid-round pick. Spoiler alert, I love him too. So this is going to be a fantastic one.
Before I lean into this guy, I want to highlight this. We have talked about three, or I'm going to sit here and cap us off with mentioning, we've mentioned at least two players from three offenses in this show. We've talked about the Broncos offense with Samaje Perine, and I'm talking about Courtland Sutton. Pat has waxed poetic about Jahan Dotson and Antonio Gibson, so be buying into Commanders offense. And I'm going to sit here and give you the other half of my league winning stack for 2023 with Darren Waller. So buy into the Giants offense. All we keep hearing out of Giants camp is Darren Waller cannot be covered. So what are we doing? Why are we not drafting this guy higher? I've got him inside of my tier 2 tight ends, tight end 2 this year, with only sitting with Mark Andrews. And people might think that's crazy, but look, I get that ECR and ADP is lagging behind a tight end 5 and tight end 7. I don't want to do that because you're looking and you're searching for paths of who could possibly rival Travis Kelce this year in raw target volume, production numbers? The answer to that test question is Mark Andrews or Darren Waller. One of those guys you got to draft in the second or third rounds of your fantasy draft. The other is going right now in ADP is the 63rd overall player, and he could slip to the 70s. Earlier in the offseason in best ball drafts, he was going in the 80s, and now people are slowly waking up to this. I talked about the Giants are going to throw more this year. Okay, that's going to filter down to Daniel Jones's number one wide receiver, which will be Darren Waller. we're still getting an injury discount. We're still getting a discount on what he didn't do with the Raiders over the last 2 years. I prefer to focus on what he did do. He was 13th in yards per route run, 6th in yards per target. Over the last 2 years, he is 8th in open score. The talent is still there. This offense is going to be constructed like previous last year's Kansas City Chiefs offense. All these wide receivers around him are going to sit here and play roles and succeed in the roles they're asked to play. Darren Waller is going to be Daniel Jones's alpha receiving option, and he's going to crush his ADP in 2023.
You heard it, guys. The Daniel Jones, Darren Waller discount stack. We are loving it here. All right, guys, we did it. 15 mid-round value picks. I mean, it was difficult, but we got through it. Thank you all for hanging out with us today. As always, remember to subscribe, like the video, and comment on the YouTube channel as well what you think of these players. That is it for us. For Pat Fitzmaurice, for Derek Brown, I'm Tara Roberts. We will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.